Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Change Strategist Show. This is Karin Sindri, and I will be your host for today. What I do is I help people to cope with change and manage change. And I'm a speaker and an author, and the book that I've just written is called After the Shock, How to Make Peace with Change. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me on www.pathwaysunlimited.com.au, or you can reach me on my Facebook page, Pathways Unlimited. Today, I'm very, very excited, and I know that this is a recording as we had technical problems last time, but today I'm really excited to interview the amazing Vinita. And Vinita is the author of Alchemy of the Mind. It is an integrative medicine clinical consultant, pharmacist, naturopath, and she's a clinical nutritionist. Wow. She's passionate about helping the mind. Yeah. She's passionate about healing the mind and body naturally with a science-based and holistic integrative medicine model. That sounds really amazing. Functional pathology, clinical consultant, and health service manager, providing in-depth technical and clinical consultancy and expert technical training, incorporating assessment, interpretation, and prescriptive guidelines to doctors and allied health practitioners internationally. Vinita is a medical authority and extraordinary mentor to her peers and patients alike. As a presenter to her peers and community at large, she is engaging, articulate, humorous, and insightful, making learning a dynamic experience for professional and personal growth. Board certified fellow in anti-aging and regenerative medicine, providing clinical training programs and educational initiatives to doctors and allied and health practitioners. Vinita also has more than 30 years experience in compound pharmacy, functional pathology, herbal and Ayurvedic and integrative medicine. Wow, Vinita, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Karin, for having me on. And I'm really looking forward to talking to our listeners today about mental health.
Yes, yes, this is going to be really exciting. And I know when I chatted to you earlier on, we were going to change things around, but let's see where this goes today.
Yes, I'm happy to talk to you about anything you like, because everything, the major controller, is in the brain. So whatever the brain wants to do, it'll do.
That's right. And for the listeners, if they'd like to get hold of Vinita, as I know that this is a recording, you can contact Vinita or you can email Vinita on Vinita, V-A-N-I-T-A, at Vinita, V-A-N-I-T-A, Dahia, D-A-H-I-A, .com. Or you can go onto her webpage, which is VinitaDahia.com, V-A-N-I-T-A-D-A-H-I-A.com. So, Vinita, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and who Vinita really is?
Okay. Well, after the formal introduction there, a little bit about myself. I think what is really important is the fact that after studying a little bit about my pharmacy, and I've been in compounding, and after many years of pharmacy, I realized there were so many limitations in the general allopathic paradigm, in the general medicine paradigm. And I thought, well, look, you know, everybody doesn't need an antidepressant. Everybody doesn't need these benzodiazepines. We need to find out how we can actually make these neurotransmitters. And so one day, this is actually where I started learning about the integrative model. One day in my pharmacy, there was this lady who was really anxious, and she was really quite, I mean, panicky to the point where she thought you're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
I then at that time had given her a specific blend of amino acids that were used, and they were used specifically to help with the anxiety. And within minutes of her taking a dose, she responded immediately. She responded so well that she was able to calm down. And that's when I thought, wait a minute, I don't know enough. I really go up and learn a bit more, because what we learn in dental school, in pharmacy school, in medicine school is a very narrowed vision angle of health. And we, you and I both know what we eat plays such a vital role, and how we live our lives, our diet and our lifestyle plays such a vital role. And we're exposed to so much change throughout our life. Nothing stays static. And this
That's
is what
right.
it's all about. The program yeah. will change.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's that, like I was chatting to you earlier on, saying that so many programs and so many books help you with how to change, but not many programs help you on how to actually manage the changes that you're going through. So this
that's
is what I'm hoping to help the listeners with, is how to actually manage change. And change is around us 24/7 the whole time, and small change, big change, or whatever it is, and all the changes that we are experiencing actually cause, for some people, it causes more stress than others.
That's true. And we find that a lot of the time, see, a lot of the modalities that are available to us as we embrace change is all available to us, either in the form of exercise, because exercise stimulates endorphins so much, and by doing that, it naturally detoxifies the body. We often don't know how to balance and listen to our inner chi, or our inner being, and we need to do that sometimes. It's like we're often fearful. And fear is a big driver of change. We're like little worms, you know, when we're in our little clusters, as the worm starts to grow and spread and becomes a butterfly, we have to break open that shell so that we can take the next step. And often we all go through it. I too have gone through resistance and change. And as one goes through this, and you find that, you know, this shell, as it breaks through, you're wanting to experience that change, but you're fearful of what's going to happen. So you go back into that little cocoon that you've developed. And so we become resistant to change. But our bodies change irrespective of whether we like it or not, because we go through so many hormonal changes through our life. You know,
That's
as
right.
we go, as we age, we start to develop PMS. Women develop PMS. They develop all sorts of hormonal conditions. Later down the line, they become perimenopausal, or even menopausal, and then postmenopausal. And each of these avenues displays a whole range of changes hormonally, but more importantly, it affects the nervous system. Now, it doesn't only apply to women. It applies to men too, because men become really grumpy as they age. And we're in the sort of the same vintage, aren't we, Karen? So that we can relate to men who become grumpy. That's called andropause. Andropause is when a man goes to what we call menopause in a woman, andropause in a man.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit more with us, with the listeners, about the hormonal changes? I mean, what does stress do to the hormones?
Do you know, stress is the precursor. Stress is the main driver of all the imbalances that are happening in our headspace as well as our hormones. So in the first instance, if you have a lot of stress in your life, now look, stress is normal. Everybody has to have stress. We write an exam, cortisol goes up, but when stress is a constant in our lives and we're burning the candles at both ends and we're doing so much, you know, with social media, we need to keep up to date with that. We need to keep up to date with the meetings and then cook the food and clean the house and deal with the meetings and all of those sorts of activities that we all have to do these days. This actually adds to what we call adrenal stress. So the adrenals are little glands that sit on top of the kidneys. And when the adrenals are stressed, cortisol goes up, boom, 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 and they don't come down. So instead of being in a nice homeostatic state, we now have a different level of medium by which we work, and that's called an allostatic. So we're wired and tired all the time. And what happens when we're under stress, it actually talks to the brain. It tells the brain, hey, listen, you've got to react to that stress. So the brain says, okay, I've got to react to that stress. I've got to run away from the stress, or I've got to react to it. So guess what happens? We have adrenaline released from the brain. Now, adrenaline is, you know, have you heard of the term adrenaline rush or, you know, the flight-freeze syndrome?
Flight and flight.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So what actually happens is adrenaline gets released, and so we're reacting. We're running away from the stress, or we're dealing with the stress. But it needs energy because the brain does not function. Brain is the master controller. Without the brain, we're dead. So therefore, the brain will use up all the energy. It uses up more than 60% of your nutrient energy to function on a normal basis. So if you've got a job that's heavily mentally associated, you need a lot more nutrition to keep the brain functioning. But now what happens with the adrenaline? It says, okay, let's go and find. So it mops up all the good in the bloodstream, and it's now finding that it can react to that stress. However, at some stage, if we constantly stress, there's not enough adrenaline being released, so it's going to look for energy. And where it looks for energy is the easiest source. Do you ever feel sometimes you're feeling stressed and you need to have that sugar fix right now? Otherwise, I'm going to have to fix.
Yeah, that's right.
It often happens. And what actually happens in the body is we tend to crave sugars and salts.
Yeah.
And that's where people find and they gain weight that way. But also, it also gets that energy out of muscle. Muscle, to break down fat, it requires a number of steps, three steps. Glycogenolysis. Whereas to break down muscle only requires one step. That's easy. That's gluconeogenesis. Mm. So that's why people who are really stressed will often have muscle aches and pains. Now, that's what happens. And, you know, people often wonder, why am I feeling so stressed and tired and I'm gaining weight and I'm not even eating much and yet I'm gaining weight? And this is where cortisol affects the hormones. So your hormones start to change. See, a woman who goes through menopause or perimenopause, often you will find they're gaining weight, particularly the belly fat pad, you know, the midriff. Their muscle tone. And they become really anxious, very, very anxious. As a matter of fact, I mean, one client of mine said, look, I could get in a car and drive to Sydney and back 20 years ago, and I could do, you know, 10 jobs in a day, etc. But now, just for me to get in the car and go to the supermarket, I have this whole conversation in my brain going on, strategizing, did I do this? Did I lock the door? Did I do this, etc.? And we have to plan a smallest task, whereas before you could do it just easily.
Yeah, and I can so identify with that because I noticed with myself because I've just gone through menopause, and so it's that stage of where you don't trust yourself. So it's like the whole time, did I lock that door? And I run back upstairs. Yes, I did lock it. Then I run back to the car and I say to my son, oh, did I pack this? Did I pack that? Meanwhile, I know I did it, but I'm like double checking on myself the whole time.
That's right. That's right. And guess what's to blame? What's to blame is the old hormones. The hormones are moaning. What actually happens with hormones is that our hormones peak at the age of around 20 or 30 because we have our babies then, you know, we're vital, we're vibrant, we have a decent libido, etc. By the time we hit 40 and 50, we go through a lot of changes. They decline. But the problem is they decline out of balance. So what actually happens is normally you've heard of the term estrogens and progesterone.
Yes.
They in males and in females. But as we age, what actually happens that both of them decline, but progesterone declines much more, leaving that estrogen to be dominant. So the term estrogen dominance applies to a woman who, when you're estrogen dominant and you're progesterone deficient, then you will find that you're feeling all these menopausal symptoms. You know, the hot flushes, the dry skin, the dry vagina, the decreased libido, lack of vitality, lack of muscle tone, lack of memory and concentration. And even the body odor starts to change and the skin starts to lose elasticity. And I mean, it's just an unreal
change. And the hair as well, your hair and your head. That changes as well. It's amazing because mine's gone curly.
That's right. So, you know, the oils in your body change, the hydration in the body changes, and so it affects, you know, even the curliness of your hair. But, you know, these hormones, when they become out of balance, they talk to the brain chemicals. We have what we call neurotransmitters or happy and sad brain chemicals, and they always have to be in balance.
Yeah.
So when progesterone is depleted, what happens is it depletes a neurochemical called GABA. Without GABA, we cannot relax. It's our relaxing hormone. Without GABA, we feel very, very anxious. We feel panicky. We have heart palpitations. We have cold sweats. Everything's a drama in the head. And so progesterone, when that's depleted, it'll deplete GABA. And that's why people who are menopausal will have that effect as well. It's interesting, isn't it, how they talk to each
other? That
is
so interesting because some women, when they go through menopause, they really have a really torrid time, and other women just seem to sail through it.
That's true.
And why is that?
That's because some people's hormones decline significantly under various circumstances. Now, there could be genetic predispositions. There could be methylation defects. There could be exposures to environmental toxins and pollutants. There could be a bad diet. There could be a bad lifestyle. All of these factors will play a role in how your body naturally makes up these hormones. And the interesting thing is, do you know, have you ever felt nice and relaxed when you had a glass of alcohol?
Yes.
A lot of people, a glass of wine often makes you feel nice and calm and cool and relaxed. Obviously, too much will cause all sorts of other issues, but one or two glasses often makes you feel relaxed. Now, it's interesting that alcohol stimulates these receptors called GABA receptors in the brain to stimulate GABA. Interesting thing is that people who use progesterone or need progesterone, remember, when we first pregnant, I don't know if you remember when your first trimester of pregnancy, you feel so cool, calm and relaxed. You just want to sleep all day. And that's because the body makes 10 times more progesterone in that first trimester. Firstly, to protect the baby and create a nice thick endometrial lining so it cushions the baby nicely, etc. It's all nature's way of protecting the baby. But the fact that our body produces that much progesterone and the fact that that progesterone stimulates these GABA receptors in the brain, and so does alcohol stimulate those GABA receptors in the brain, progesterone is calming.
That's very interesting.
So people who use progesterone as a bioidentical cream when their doctors prescribe it for them, they said, do you know what, Vanita? This is the first time in so long that I slept through the night. And that's what progesterone does.
Yeah. That is really, really interesting. So with women that are going through menopause or perimenopausal or whatever's going on for them, is what could they do? What could they do to support themselves through this time in their lives?
You know, all these changes that a woman or a man goes through, men go through so much as well, because their hormone levels change as well. In men, they become grumpy old men because their testosterone, which is a male hormone, and we also have a male hormones, females and males have the same hormones, but the testosterone converts to estrogen. They become feministic as they age. So they lose their muscle tone everywhere, including erectile dysfunction. They lose their memory. They lose their muscle tone, their concentration. They can't lift things like they used to. Even women, you find that I used to lift up crates of drinks, etc. I can't do that now. I find it's a big drama for me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So women, firstly, can do two things. Women and men, anybody that is going through these hormonal changes. Women, men go through libido issues. Now, let me tell you something. If you've got a lack of testosterone, you will have a lack of dopamine. So a lack of a hormone can cause depletion of a hormone that is your reward hormone. That is the very hormone in your brain chemical, dopamine, which is gets you up and going, motivated, gets you going, moving and actioning things and being satisfied. You give somebody who's dopamine depleted, you give them the best meal in front of them or the best bod in front of them, they're not going to salivate. And that lack of satisfaction is part of that. So you can, your question was, how do we fix this? Firstly, we can assess. Assessing is so important. So you use scientific validation in the correct lab tests. So here, in this particular instance, I would measure the adrenal function. You do that through cortisol, measuring cortisol and DHEA, because cortisol doesn't change, doesn't stay the same throughout the day. It changes through the day. So you measure it different times of the day. And that's done through a simple saliva test, simple spit test. In addition to that, you would measure the hormones. Saliva, in a urine or a blood sample, and you would rely on the expertise of a practitioner to guide you in that instance. The third thing I would do is look at the neurotransmitters. In other words, measure the happy and sad brain chemicals. Now, doctors don't do this conventionally, because what they use is they use a DSM model. If you go to the doctor and say, I've got the sads, I'm not feeling happy, I'm feeling a bit low, etc., they would say to you, well, my dear, let me ask you a bunch of questions. So they would ask you based on the DSM model, which is a diagnostic statistical manual. It's a bunch of questions, really. And that is a really good accredited diagnostic criteria. That is not enough. We need to open up the door to, you know, finding these variants in the lab studies that as you walk through the clinical door. Diagnostic criteria has to go beyond the DSM model. We need to actually establish what the clinical triggers are and examine all the various arms of the mind, because it's not just balancing. It is actually, we can't just choose the psychiatrist or the endocrinologist for the hormones or the gastroenterologist for the gut. We need that integrated approach. So, you know, as you untangle depression, stress, anxiety, it is actually an imbalance of the various neurochemicals in the body. You can't just throw an antidepressant to somebody who's GABA deficient, or you can't and we only have SSRIs. So we can measure these neurotransmitters through a simple urine test. This measures neurotransmitters like inhibitory ones like GABA and serotonin, that keeps you nice and calm, as well as excitatory ones, which get you up and going to adrenaline, dopamine, and glutamate. So these are the analytes that can be measured in a simple urine test. Now, once you have those test results, you'll then understand an integrative practitioner. So I teach integrative practitioners. So and they're all trained, you know, internationally. So basically, the integrative practitioner is able to understand and correlate how the neurotransmitters talk to the hormones, how the neurotransmitters talk to the gut. And this is all explained in the book called, the book that I've just published called Alchemy of the Mind. And so you get an understanding of how neurotransmitters, okay, I've got a hormonal change, I've got a low depletion or excess of estrogen. What does it mean? It means that it's going to be causing a change in my adrenaline and noradrenaline pathway. And that's the reason I'm feeling anxious, or that's the reason I'm feeling stressed, or that's the reason I'm feeling depressed. So once the integrative practitioner has a look at your neurotransmitters, as well as the adrenals, as well as the hormones, they put all these puzzles together, and then we can then structure a treatment approach. Now remember, neurotransmitters are made by the body. It's not made by a Prozac pill. So Prozac or any sertraline, etc., is not your it's an excellent reuptake of serotonin. That's all it does, nothing else. But what if your health condition's got nothing to do with serotonin? It's all about dopamine or adrenaline. What's the point of giving somebody an antidepressant if we haven't examined where that imbalance is? And the moment you put an SSRI into the picture, it's like putting salt into a soup. The whole soup goes out of whack. Right?
So you've got to try and get that salt out, and it's very difficult to get it out. I love that analogy.
Right. It goes with what they call serotonin syndrome. So look, we make our own neurotransmitters from the food we take in, from very, very specific neurotransmitters, and these amino acids, and these amino acids together with vital vitamins and minerals make neurotransmitters. So if we know that there's a depletion of a particular neurotransmitter, let's say dopamine, we know for a fact that the precursors are amino acids called tyrosine and phenylalanine. We need to put that back in order for the body to naturally manufacture those neurochemicals.
Yeah. And so then with all of that, it's created that balance. So using the integrative medicine and having someone guide you through all of that, it will then help obviously to restore the balance in your body.
That's true. You will find that the balance can only be restored once you establish. You can play a lot of guessing games. You can give somebody a HRT pill. But honestly, the best way to do this is to identify where they are, and lab tests do that very effectively, and then correct that. Correction is quite easy, because once you know what is depleted, you can use very, very effective corrective measures. As a matter of fact, something as simple as progesterone deficiency, you know there are three ways that we can actually supplement that. One is so if you're having hot flushes, dry skin, dry vagina, etc., there'll be an imbalance of progesterone and estrogen. Let's just look at progesterone only for the purposes of this conversation. So if you've depleted in progesterone, you'd go to your doctor and the doctor might give you a synthetic progesterone pill. Now, unfortunately, the results of literature studies, they've discovered that a lot of these HRT medications are so synthetic and they cause all sorts of deleterious conditions, including a higher predisposition to estrogen receptor positive cancers. Okay, we know that. So that's the reason why HRT is not so fashionable these days. However, we're still causing a lot of damage because we're giving patients oral contraceptive pills, which is much higher in dosage than the HRT. So we're going to have a whole generation of women that are going to go through quite a few issues. But before that, what we can also do is we have the capacity in Australia, as well as actually worldwide, to use what we call bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. I have heard about that. And it was something that I was quite interested in at one stage, you know, especially with me going through what I did. Going through my menopause and everything.
Yeah. Sure. So what actually happens is that once we've established these hormonal changes, what actually happens is that the doctor would then make a determination. Now, normally I would always teach and recommend that if you, let's just as an example, let's say your reference range for progesterone is 300 to 1500 and your patient's progesterone comes in at 500, you know that it is low, but it is normal. Normal, low, you can quite adequately use herbs to bring it back to norm, because herbs are absolutely powerful. Herbs, vitamins, minerals are absolutely powerful to bring it back to norm. And but if that level was like 100, for example, way below the, not even touching the reference range, then herbs won't do the job correctly. You might need to use herbs plus bioidentical hormone. Now, just on the topic of the herbs, there was a study that was done, and it was very well published, on the use of Vitex. Vitex is a herb. Vitex agnus cactus is a herb that is progesterogenic. Have you heard of that word?
I've heard of agnus cactus, yes.
Right. Good. Yes. Now, that particular herb is very, very powerful in actually, that just reminds me, I've got to tell you about a story where all this originated from, but I'll tell you that in a minute. So this particular herb had been compared to fluoxetine, which is an SSRI, in various studies, and they found that women who had PMDD, which is a form of premenstrual dysphoria, like where they really become really stressed and depressed whilst they're going through a PMS system. So these are women that have given fluoxetine, which is an SSRI by their doctor, and another cohort was given Vitex. And they found that those people who used Vitex, which is the agnisca, the herb, were much better outcomes in their HAM score, which is the Hamilton depression scale. They were much better in terms of recovery. They had no side effects, and they lost all their other added side effects like fluid retention and changes in bowel habits and the typical moods, etc., as you find. So it's so important to know that there is study behind this, and they published materials.
That's amazing.
So that is absolutely amazing. I've got a minute or two.
I can
tell you where
I'd love to hear it. Yes.
You know, the Celts, in the very old days, the Celts, as part of the Celtic rituals, Christmas frivolities, they used to make up this mead of mistletoe berries and ferment it. And so it was a lovely little alcoholic medium. Mm-hmm. And women would take copious, and men would take copious amounts of this and involve themselves in all sorts of sexual frivolity during the Christmas period. Now, ordinarily, in those days, there were no oral contraceptives, so you would have imagined there would be a burst of
a baby
population.
Boom.
yeah. But in actual fact, the mistletoe was very rich in progesterogenic properties.
Wow,
and
that is interesting.
That was, they were not only nicely cooking with all the alcohol and involving themselves in beautiful frivolities through this festive season, but see how smart they were.
Wow, that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, the old good old mistletoe was rich in progesterone. So this is how that, and that's when they discovered, look, there's certain plants that have really effective mechanisms of driving a particular hormone up or down. So this is so amazing.
Oh, that is so interesting. I absolutely love this. This is just fascinating. Wow. And for the listeners, if you are listening, to get hold of Vanita, you can email her on Vanita, V-A-N-I-T-A, at Vanita Dahia, VanitaDahia.com. Or you can go onto her webpage, which is VanitaDahia.com. So, Vanita, tell us a little bit about your book. I know I met you when we wrote our books together, and we immediately had a connection because both of us came from South Africa, and we have a bit
That's
of a history. which is really beautiful. And so tell us a little bit about... Sorry, I didn't hear that because it broke up a little bit.
It's good when we connect with the same background. We can relate to each other in different ways.
That's right. So tell the listeners a little bit about your book, The Alchemy of the Mind.
Okay, The Alchemy of the Mind. Look, there are many, many books out there on the marketplace. There are books written by Bruce Lipton Norman Doidge on neuroplasticity. There are thousands of books on helping the mind going through various changes. One of your books is part of the change and how it affects the mind. And because I am a bit sciencey, I wanted to actually give the reader the opportunity to be able to understand what's going on in their mind space. Mm-hmm. So what I do is, in this particular book, I bring in all the elements together. I bring in breathing exercises, diet, which foods would actually up or down regulate serotonin or dopamine, etc. What does it mean to have a low and a high level of serotonin? How do we fix that? And how does the rest of the body fit into it? So each of the chapters is really a correlation between the mind and the adrenals, the mind and the hormones, the mind and the gut, and so forth and so on. You know, 90% of our serotonin is actually made in the gut. So, you know, with today, with all our microbiome issues and with all the various pollutants that we are consuming and all the various glyphosates, that Roundup weed killer that we're consuming within our food chains, that is relating to so many toxicants, and this is all affecting the mind. So the book really goes through the correlation of the brain chemistries with the rest of the body, and it's not complex. It's written for the lay person, so that they can be informed, so that they can ask the right questions of their doctor. Each chapter is complemented with a checklist, so that you can understand what is actually happening in your body. So is it my gut that's affecting my brain? Or is it, you know, when you say my stomach is in a knot, I'm stressed, my stomach is always in a knot, I'm feeling constipated or diarrheal, I'm going through various conditions. How does that, why am I feeling so low? And when I went off onto a retreat or I was on holidays, I was eating really healthy and I felt so calm and cool and relaxed. So how does the chemistry talk to each other? That's essentially what the book's all about.
Yeah. And I like the way that you've broken up those chapters, like you've done the mind and the gut and the mind and the hormones and the mind and the different areas of your body, so that you can actually have almost like a little breakdown of everything, which sounds really great.
That's right. And the checklists are really, really handy because people really then get to understand, okay, that's why I'm feeling sad. It's my dopamine levels that are low, or I'm feeling my glutamate levels are too high, etc. You know?
Yeah.
Often, I mean, this book really started when people, I've heard so many people said, you know, I feel like life's not worth living. They feel fearful, they feel lonely, and they occupy their time, you know, in an unconscious state of busyness all the time, and relationships are crap and they feel so trapped. I heard so many people say, like, my, you know, I feel like there's a funeral in my brain, you know, mourners are coming and going, veil over my head, you know, and I feel I can't see the world happy. I just, this gray haze of the sad mood. So if only somebody could actually take away that gray haze and that mask that I wear, because that's what we do. We pretend we put some happy faces on Facebook, etc. And we often don't go out and reach out to people really connecting, you know?
Yeah. And would you find that's because also people don't know how to deal with, because society today, it's more like, you know, you've got to be seen to be happy. You've got to be seen to be jumping around and sparkly and so on. So people have that expectation. Mm-hmm. And when you are not feeling like that, it's almost like taboo to show it.
That's true. So we wear a little facade. We wear a face. Mm. And often that face is, there's a lady I love listening to her. Her name is Tara Brach, and she actually revealed this beautiful little story about as we, you know, as you brush past a plant called the stinging nettle, it releases these various nettles, and some people can get very allergic to it. And when they become allergic to it, they have asthma, they have eczema, they have skin rashes, etc. And now if you actually travel down the plant and you scrape down all the juice that comes out of the stem, that juice is what we call a herb. That juice is used to that allergy.
Wow.
So, you know, Rumi actually talks about that the cure for the pain is in the pain. The cure for the depression is in the depression. So we need to acknowledge, we need to listen to ourselves. And how often do we actually listen to each other? Talking to others and we're reacting. We're already not even listening to them. We're strategizing a response so that we can talk over the next person. And that is typical in a workplace. Do you know, if you're not looking stressed, you're not doing your job properly. So you need to be fiery, etc. So this is what is expected in the workplace.
Absolutely. And I remember
so
with me as well. Yeah, when I was teaching, I was sort of told at one stage, don't say anything about when you get home that you don't do any schoolwork. And I thought, my goodness me, I'm not at work, I'm at home, so why must I do more work? And so I'm really conscious of when I leave work, I leave work and I'm at home. So and I think that's a lot of people carry their work and they carry their stresses of their day back home with them, and then they haven't let it go. And it's almost like there was that lovely analogy, I cannot remember, it was something about a father coming home and leaving a nail, I think it was, in the wall, the wooden wall, every day before he walked into the house. And that nail was representative of him letting go of what he was doing at work and walking into the door, having left work behind. And so for him, it was his representation of, when I get home, I'm leaving behind what I did at work, and I'm going into a new situation. I'm back at home with my family.
That's true. Yes. Unfortunately, we are embracing, because of media, availability of media all the time.
Mm.
There's lots of people that take their iPads and their phones and their TVs to bed with them. And so they're being exposed to all of this, all of the electromagnetic radiation and stimulation all the time. That analogy that you expressed is so beautiful. People need to focus and bring into their, be mindful. You know, we need to be holding back and feeling authentic and breathe in the beauty around us. We need to learn to dance and to sing and be with the family. And this is so important. We lose that. When we lose that, we can't control our habits. And so, you know, we talk about somebody who is dopamine deficient, who is an addict. So some people, addicts are not only alcoholics and smokers and druggies, they also people who work all the time.
Yes.
These are
or addicted to social media and so on. Yeah.
Exactly. And these are people who are often dopamine depleted. And so we need to actually support that dopamine as they go along. And we need to consider, it's not just fixing up neurochemicals. We really need to put all the pieces of the puzzle together to enable us to feel much happier. We all are capable. Happiness is not out there, it's right inside. And we really need to be able to tap into that as we go through the changes in our life, changes in our workplace, changes in all sorts of things. So it is a matter of being able to tap into that frequency within our bodies so we can become authentic again and mindful.
Yeah, and that tapping into your bodies and becoming mindful, it's really a consciousness. It's almost something that has to become, correct me if I'm wrong, a habit. You need to create a habit out of that.
That's
Would
true.
You say that?
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Mm. It's learning It's learning to pause. So in the midst of all the busyness, we so consciously take our hands off the controls. So what if we were intentionally spinning our mental computations and rushing around and just for a minute or two, simply pause, just simply pause and notice the inner experience, you know? Learning to pause is really the first step to practice of any form of radical acceptance. So a pause is like a suspension of activity in your mind. So a time of temporary disengagement, when we're no longer moving towards any goal, the pause can occur in the midst of almost any activity. So it's just a breath.
Right.
Focusing on your breath is as simple as that.
Yeah, and I remember doing a workshop many years ago, and actually, in fact, I did it in South Africa, where one of the first things that they said was is to notice, and notice how you are being, notice how you are feeling, notice, and then to like you said, take that pause, take that deep breath, because within that breath, it changes the biology inside your body as well.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does. Mm. You know, just your thoughts can change. I don't know if you've heard of the miracles of water. Professor Emoto had revealed the molecular structure and the crystalline structure of water in two different environments. So if you had a glass of water in a church and a glass of water, let's say, or where Mozart's music was playing, another glass of water where you had this heavy metal head-banging music playing, and you look at the crystalline structures of all of these, they change. So that's what water. And our body is more than 60% of liquid. Imagine how our cellular structure, our cellular energy can change just with thought.
Yeah. And I think also it's something that we sometimes, though, and I'd like to know your input on this, is that if you do have a thought, because some people say you should just stop it and you know, say it as it's a thought that's a negative thought, is just to stop it and to change it and think of another thought. And other people say that they should work through that thought, and so that thought diminishes and gets less and less and less, and then move on. What would you say?
You can't stop thoughts. You know, some people have this idea that meditation is no thought, nothing. There's no such thing. As long as you're alive, you're going to have thoughts. But control those thoughts very, very effectively. When we're going through a grieving process, as an example, okay, or any really major trauma, we go through a whole hierarchy of emotions. And it is very important to acknowledge every one of those emotions and work through them. So you will go through the heavy emotions of grief, fear, blame, etc., and you'll move up the hierarchy and compassion, empathy, and passion and love. Love is the most powerful emotion. So it's only when you actually go through each of those emotions, it's like feeling a pain. If you've got a pain somewhere on your knee and you're breathing it and you're encapsulating that pain and you're breathing it out of your body, you're actually focusing, you're accepting it, you're not fighting it, you're accepting it. And as you breathe it out of the body, you can visualize the pain diminishing. And so that thought consciousness that you're applying to the acceptance is part and parcel of the healing process. And that applies to every emotion. It doesn't matter what it is. So yes, there is truth in accepting, but knowing that particular pain will shift. And it will change its energy.
That's right. And that's where I have one of my favorite quotes, which has been with me, I think, ever since I went through my divorce, which was, "This too shall pass." And so nothing stays with you forever. That particular emotional feeling or whatever, it doesn't stay with you forever. It does diminish. It does get less. It might not necessarily mean that you will forget it, but it does get less. The pain gets less. Would you say that?
Absolutely. And you will find that with every change, It doesn't matter what change you go through. You go through various emotions. So you can't say, look, I'm depressed, because a depressed person is not depressed all the time. They go through phases of depression. They can go through stress, and they go through anxiety, worry, etc., panic, etc. So as we go through these changes, and as a woman or a man goes through their life changes and their hormonal changes, we need to accept these changes, acknowledge the changes, and then optimize those changes as you go along. But also, it is not only an issue of regurgitating the past and unraveling, you know, let's blame mum or dad for whatever it is. There's the various forms of psychotherapy that actually do that. I think it's very, very important to be able to, yes, that's definitely a legitimate form of psychotherapy, but at the same time, we need to forget the past and we can only live in the present. You can't worry about the future. We have to live in the present. And that is always a challenge for most of us.
Because most of the time we tend to spend our lives in the past or in the future, and that we worry about things that have happened and we worry about things that are going to happen, and we actually forget about the now. We forget about the actual this particular moment in time.
That's true. You will find that it is always really hard. If you examine your thoughts, we have thousands and thousands of thoughts in any one time. And when we're in a dream state, we can move, 24 hours is never, there's no time in a dream state. You can go through a dream state and experience dreams and life in your dream state over 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or just 1 minute. And, you know, if you often look at a dream or examine your dreams, it's a long process. And yet it only happens within the 8 hour period or the 6 hour period that you happen to sleep. So the changes that we're actually going through and the thought processes, we really do need to acknowledge all of that and also put things into perspective. People will say, "Well, okay, fine, I've done the meditation thing, that doesn't work, it's not for me." That's fine.
Absolutely.
Look, there's some people, they say they've done that. Okay, let's look at the rest of the physiology as well. And then incorporate it. Once you start to rectify their neurotransmitters, you will find people will say, okay, I'm in a better state now. I can actually start embracing and open up that mind-body medicine door that you spoke about and consider those breathing exercises and consider the meditation and consider the brain sync music that will rectify my alpha, beta, theta waves in my brain so that I can be more relaxed or can sleep or can be wakeful.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because some people think that meditating is just sitting for an hour and doing nothing, but whereas you could meditate when you're taking a walk. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sit still and do nothing for an hour.
That's correct, yes. Meditation is very, very powerful. I did one set of meditation and subsequently have been a number of times. I've done a form of meditation which is based on Buddhist principles where you actually are silent for 10 days and you have no communication with anybody for 10 days. Now, I must admit, to me, that was the most difficult and the most easiest thing to do ever. And also, it is the most powerful thing to do. Because you have the capacity to be in control of things. I had, during the time I did that, I was going through menopause and I had lots of hot flushes and I forgot to take my little homeopathic drops with me at the time. And so as a result, I was using the meditation practices to visualize this heat in my body and acknowledge it and accept it and let it pass.
And it's almost like welcoming it and then letting it go.
That's right. That's so right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then once you've welcomed it and acknowledged it and accepted it, it seems to dissipate a lot quicker.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
So it's been a very welcoming area to work within, the area of understanding and putting all these puzzles together. It's just not the mind-body medicine. It's just the diet. It's just not the exercise. It is the neurochemistry that we're trying to talk about as well. And that's basically what alchemy of the mind is all about. And that's how listener can actually put these puzzle pieces together for themselves.
Yeah. And Vanita, where can the listeners get hold of your book?
Okay, my book is available on all media, Amazon, Booktopia, etc. It is listed either as a Kindle or ebook or a paperback. It's also available online at www.vanitadahia.com. And right now we're working on the next level, which is basically the Alchemy of the Mind Masterclass. So it's really taking the book into much deeper levels for the patient as well as the practitioner. So there'll be different levels of teaching. And it is there are many patients will say, Vanita, but what about methylation defects? What about, you know, the role of copper and zinc? Now, I've put that all in the book, but I also have expanded it a lot in the masterclass. So that was due to be released towards the latter part of this year.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So just to end off our show, wow, this has really been so interesting. I know we've chatted about a lot of different things, jumping from menopause through to dealing with your hormones and dealing with emotions and thoughts and meditating and so many different things. It's been absolutely amazing chatting to you, Vanita. And for those people who'd like to get hold of Vanita, once again, it's at vanita@vanitadahia.com. Or her email, her website is vanita.com. So, Vanita, I really would like to thank you so much for being on my show today and wishing you all the best. And I cannot wait to read your book. I haven't even got a copy of it yet, but I'm sure one day I will be getting a copy of it.
I've got to get a copy to you ASAP. We had the book launch very recently in the last few weeks, and that was really successful and very exciting to be able to be in a position to be able to share this information. And I thank you so much, Karen. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Only a pleasure.
To be on Ignite.
Fantastic. And just to end off the show, I'd like to read a quote that actually Vanita sent me. It's a quote by Rumi, which says, "Sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps everything out of your house so that new joy can find space to enter. It shakes the yellow leaves from the bough of your heart so that fresh green leaves can grow in their place. It pulls up the rotten roots so that the new roots hidden beneath them have room to grow. Whatever sorrow shakes from your heart, far better things will take their place." That is so beautiful. And thank you
beautiful.
So much, Vanita. Yeah. And this is Karen Sindri from the Change Strategist Show. Chat to you soon and have a good day or good evening. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
We all have our mountains, the challenges that push us further. At Coors Light, our mountain is brewing the world's most refreshing beer. That's why all of our breweries cold lager to give Coors Light its signature crisp taste. It's why we cold filter to ensure brilliance and clarity. And it's why we package cold to seal in Coors Light's refreshing flavor. Because we believe every climb deserves a refreshing finish. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility.